Amen. Amen. Good evening again. Good to see all of you here. Good to have many of you joining us from home tonight as well. Hey, before the message, I just want to share a couple things, and I'm going to try to take them in order. So ladies, don't forget, tomorrow you have off. Then next Thursday, the 9th, you start your second sort of Bible study back up, a new study. So you need to register for that. So please go out there and register for that. So October the 9th, either at 9:30 in the morning or 6:30 in the evening, you can choose either one. They're both the same. But please don't forget to go out there and register for your new study that starts next Thursday. Then, gentlemen, a week from Saturday, so not this Saturday, but the 11th of October, we're having a men's breakfast here from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and you also need to go out there and register so that the guys know how much food to get, how much food to prepare, and all of that. So, guys, we'd love to have you Saturday morning, October the 11th, 8 o'clock right here. Then don't forget, today started the registration also for our Spiritual Life Weekend, especially that Saturday event on November the 8th, and we've already had many people signing up for that, which is encouraging. I think we're going to have a really good group that Saturday. And again, it's no cost, but we need you to register so that we need to know how many lunches to prepare for, because we are going to be providing lunch for you all who come, because it's going to be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. I hope you can be here. I hope you can bring some friends with you, coworkers, neighbors, fellow family members, whatever. We're going to even have people here from other churches that day. This is open to anyone that wants to come and be a part of that weekend. And also, obviously, today, if you were here Sunday, today started October the 1st, so hopefully some of you took on that challenge of being in the Word beginning every day starting on October the 1st. And maybe you're taking the one-month challenge, the month of October. Maybe you're going to take the two-month challenge, October, November. And maybe for some of you, you're taking the whole rest of the year, October, November, and December. I will tell you, there's nothing like getting into this book. Nothing like it. It is the most amazing book that we'll ever have in our possession, is the Word of God. And speaking of that, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight as we begin? You all get the drill by now, right? This is where we start every week. 1 Corinthians 3:1. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night, chapter by chapter. But I begin with 1 Corinthians 3:1 because it gives us, in a sense, the whole context of why Paul is dealing with the things that he's dealing with in this book and with this church. I've entitled this sermon series, Rewire, because literally Paul is rewiring the minds and hearts of the Corinthians. They need their minds renewed from the inside out. They are being more influenced, even as Christians, by their past, by the world around them, by their culture pressing in on them, than so far they are the Scriptures, the Spirit of God, and the mind and heart of God. So that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:1, so brothers and sisters, I could not write this letter to you or speak to you as spiritual people. Now, again, let me remind all of us, they're Christians, so that means they have the Holy Spirit. So a spiritual person, according to the Word of God, is not just somebody who possesses the Holy Spirit, but somebody who allows the Holy Spirit to possess them. Amen. To literally be in control. That's a spiritual person. Not just having the Holy Spirit, but living in the Spirit. But instead, I have to speak to you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the chapter we are in tonight. And I think you're going to see why Paul is sharing the things that he's sharing, because, again, it is in contrast to the world. So let me start here. In verse 1, he says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. This is something that Paul repeats regularly throughout this book. In fact, go over with me just real quickly to chapter 12, verse 1. With regard to spiritual gifts, and we'll get to this in a couple weeks, I do not want you to be uninformed. The book of Hosea tells us, God says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And Paul is saying, I need you to make sure that you are not ignorant of these things, that you are knowledgeable about these things, that you understand these things, that you are aware of these things, that you are mindful of the things that I'm saying. So that's a challenge to all of us as well, to make sure that we are growing in our knowledge of the Word of God and of the mind and heart of God, and that we are being mindful and being aware of the things that God wants us to be aware of. Now, before we get further into 1 Corinthians 10, here's where I want to start. The world is all about experiences. The world is all about events. In fact, that's always been something that God's people have had to resist, is that kind of perspective or philosophy. And it's creeped into the church, especially today, to where so many people of God are all about experiences, all about what's the next big event. And they literally sort of hop or jump from experience to experience, or from, that's why, I'm just going to say it, some churches, I won't say all, have to sort of do the Barnum and Bailey, you know, hey, here's our next big thing we're having, you know, don't miss it. And they're always having to sort of up whatever big event it is, because that's the way people are wired today. It's like they're wired to look for what's the next big thing, right? And yet God teaches us, not that he's anti-experience, but he's all about the walk. Amen. In other words, better than jumping from event to event and experience to experience, even good ones, even God-ordained ones, is learning to just walk with God every day. That's why the Bible teaches us to walk in the Spirit. Take step by step. What does it say about Enoch? Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Are we looking for the big experiences to jump from one to the other, or are we more focused on just learning to walk with God step by step? Because I will tell you, you will get much further in your relationship with God when we learn just to walk with him every day than we would by jumping from experience to experience, from event to event. Now, why that's applicable, notice what Paul says to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our fathers, our ancestors, were all under the cloud. By the way, note the word all, and as you've heard me say many times, all means all, and that's all means. So it's significant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were all drinking from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But God was not pleased with most of them, and they were cut down in the wilderness. These happened as examples for us. And then go down to the end of verse 11. and were written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. So let the one who thinks he is standing be careful that he does not fall. There is no generation that I know of in the Bible or throughout history that had more supernatural experiences with God than the children of Israel who were delivered from Egypt. If you can think of somebody or some group, please, because I can't think of any. I mean, this group of people saw all the plagues that God brought. They saw God deliver them supernaturally from Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh, after being in bondage for 400 years. Then they saw him part the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. They saw him lead them by, you know, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They all were under the leadership of Moses, who was under the leadership of God. And then Paul makes this amazing statement that you and I all know, that Jesus Christ existed way before Bethlehem, that he is the eternal Son of God, and that he manifested himself even throughout the Old Testament. And Paul affirms that when he says, oh, and by the way, Jesus was protecting you, leading you, providing for you. He was the one that was accompanying you all through your journey. He was the one taking care of you. He was your spiritual rock. And they got the manna from heaven. They had water coming out of the rock. I mean, I could go on and on about the experiences they had. And the reason I do so is because I hear so many Christians today say, if God would just do more supernatural things in our midst before our eyes, if we could just experience more supernatural things, man, think about how people would be changed. You forget what the Bible teaches. It's not the experience. It's the response to the experience. In fact, the littlest experience or the biggest experience, it doesn't matter what the experience is as much as it does what is our response to what God is doing. And here was a group of people that they had all the events and experiences you could want in one lifetime. And they had it in a few years, and yet God was not pleased with most of them, and most of them died in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't respond properly to their experiences. So you and I have to be careful. First of all, two, reason why the word all is important and significant, all of us, take tonight, we can all be in the same place, with the same Holy Spirit moving and working, hearing the same worship songs and listening to the same message, and yet all of us get something different out of it simply because of the way we respond to it or the way we don't respond to it. And that's what Paul's saying. They all experienced the same thing. It wasn't like one of them experienced it. No, they all experienced the same thing. But it was their response or lack of response that was the key to the whole thing. And so we must be careful about looking for those experiences as if they're the end-all, be-all. Sometimes it can be the smallest little thing that God does in our life, and if we respond to it properly and positively, it can change us. What did God say to Elijah? He wasn't in the fire and wasn't in all the... It was the still small voice that God was in. And sometimes I think we miss God because even in our society today, we're programmed for the big. We're programmed for the spectacular. We're programmed for all the hoopla And we miss sometimes the still small voice of God. So Paul is saying, let's be careful. These things God allowed to be written in His Word as examples for our instruction so that we would learn from their mistakes and not repeat them. As we all have heard throughout our lifetime, if we do not learn from history, then we are going to repeat it. Doomed to repeat it. And God laid out them as an example so that we wouldn't go down the same road that they did. They all experienced amazing things, and yet it did not profit them because of their lack of response. So it's not the experience that is as important as it is our response. Even the smallest experience, if you will, or engagement with God can be huge if our response is right. We need to think more about our response to what God is doing at any given moment in our life and in our church than we are looking for that next big explosion to happen. Then, verse 13. Maybe one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted verses in all the Bible. Because here's what you'll hear. I thought God said in His Word in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He would never give me more than what I could handle. How many of you have heard something like that from another Christian at some point in your life? Yeah, I've heard it a million times. God says He will never give us more than what we can handle. And they take it from this verse. That's not what this verse says. That's not what this verse teaches. Because the world looks for experience rather than concentrating on the proper response. And the world is all about escape and avoidance. And God is all about endurance and perseverance. So now look at this verse. No trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others. So he's saying, there's sort of a common thread to what humanity goes through. God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able, and here's one of the key phrases, to bear. Not to escape, not to avoid, not giving me more than what I can handle. Listen, almost everything in life and ministry is more than what we can handle without God. That's pretty much everyday existence. It's God saying, but I will be faithful and I will give you what you need to bear it. With the trial, I will provide a way out or through so that you may be able to what? Escape it? Avoid it? No. Endure it. So the Bible doesn't teach God will give us more than what we are able to bear. The Bible teaches us that whatever trial God allows to come into our life, He will give us the grace. He will give us the strength to bear it, to endure it, to persevere and navigate through it. In fact, one of the key words in this whole verse is the word overtaken in the NET translation in verse 13. No trial has overtaken you. Literally in the original, it means to be seized by something. You see, this word speaks of God's initiative. If God is sovereign, that means that anything that comes into our life, He's allowing it. He's allowing the trial. He's allowing the test. So it actually is coming from Him because He's not preventing it from happening. And this word also speaks about the believer's response of faith. So God's initiative and the believer's response of faith woven together, creating a powerful testimony of grace received, grace stewarded, and grace perfected. Let me repeat that. This word speaks of God's initiative in allowing whatever trial or test to touch our lives. And it also then speaks about what should be our faith response to whatever that trial or test is, which then will provide a powerful testimony of grace received from God, grace stewarded by me through the trial, and grace being perfected through my trial as I bear it and endure it through God's grace. Again, as I said on Sunday, think through what Paul went through. He had a thorn in his flesh. He asked God to take it away. God said, no, I won't take it away, but you will receive my grace. And as you steward my grace, then my grace will also be perfected in you. And you will bear that thorn. You will endure that thorn for the rest of your life. I just got to be honest with all of us here. This isn't something we're all going to want to hear, but we need to hear. Some of you, you may be in a situation or dealing with something now that you want to avoid, that you want to escape, that you want to get rid of. I get it. We all naturally, humanly, fleshly, that's where we all go. But God may say the same thing to us that he says to Paul. I'm not going to allow you to escape that. I'm not going to allow you to avoid that. I'm not going to take that away from you, but your life, like Paul's, will be a powerful testimony of showing people my initiative, my sovereignty, met with your faith response, and my grace received, my grace stewarded in your life, and my grace perfected through it. They will see me and my power through you being able to bear that and endure that for the rest of your life. And that will magnify me. And that will also teach you a greater dependence and reliance upon me than you might have ever been able to exhibit or express had you not had to go through that trial or that test. In fact, keep your finger there and go over with me real quick to the book of James, chapter 1. James says the very same thing in James chapter 1. He basically teaches the same thing that Paul's teaching here. Look at it with me in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Not escape, not avoidance, not getting rid of it, but endurance. And let endurance have what? Its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect or complete and not deficient in anything. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is teaching. The world wants experience. God says, walk with me. And think about your response. The world wants to escape. We know that. I mean, that's why addiction and so many destructive behaviors is so rampant today, because we live in a world that wants to escape pain. They want to escape everything in their life that doesn't go right or doesn't fall the way they want to, instead of learning that God, and through God, he's so amazing that he's faithful. And he says, I'm not going to let you go through that on your own. Just like we saw in Daniel, I'll be right there in the fire with you. But I'll make sure that you come through the fire and out of the fire, and you'll be better off for going through the fire. Because I want a people who doesn't live life trying to escape and avoid things, but literally is willing to go through things because you know how faithful I am and that I will provide everything you need to bear it up and to endure it. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is saying. So it's actually just the opposite. Instead of saying, I thought God wouldn't give me more than what I'm able to bear. Oh, no, it's just the opposite. God regularly will give us more than what we're able to bear. Just the opposite. And Paul is saying, here's the contrast again with the world. Even back in Paul's day, the world goes, oh, I can experience this and I can experience that and I can watch that and I can listen to that. It's just that. There's no spiritual world out there. There's no devil. There's no such thing as demons and all of that. It's just stuff. And Paul's saying, no, no. There are supernatural, evil, spiritual beings that can be connected and behind and working in all of that stuff to influence you in a negative way. That's why he says in verse 20, I mean that what the pagans, that simply means those without God, sacrifice, they're sacrificing to demons and not to God. I don't want you in Corinth to be partners with demons. Wow. So, in the first part of the chapter, Paul says, it's got to be more than an experience. It's got to be an everyday walk, and it's got to be about our response to God. In the second thing we looked at, verse 13, every experience, no matter what it is, no matter how hard or challenging or difficult it is, can be endured because God is faithful. But every experience that you and I go through in life or engage with in life also has to be examined and evaluated because there very likely is some spirit connected to whatever the experience is that I'm going through. Or whatever I'm engaged with, whatever I'm connected to. And it's either going to be the spirit of God or it's going to be some supernatural evil spirit that's trying to negatively influence my life. And as Paul would say, none of us, I would think, would want to ever be partnering with a demonic spirit. And yet, how many Christians live life and go, oh, it's just that, or it's just that, and that's not going to affect me, and that's not going to bother me, and that's not going to hurt my mind and the way I think and my attitude. And so they engage in all of these things as if there's no spirit involved or behind what they're doing. And Paul's saying, absolutely there is. You and I, as we talked about Sunday, we have to be alert. We have to be watchful. We have to be vigilant. We have to understand there are spiritual beings behind these things and involved with these things. And Lord knows we don't want to even partner at all with a demonic spirit in any way. As Paul will say later on, we want to be innocent about what is evil and wise about what is good in the book of Romans. And then we come to verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10. Every experience should bring glory to God. That should be the purpose of whatever I'm experiencing or engaged with. Amen. when Paul says, so, whether even you eat or drink, I mean, two of the most mundane, routine, ordinary things that we do as human beings every day. Paul couldn't have maybe chosen any two more regular things. And yet he says, even in our eating and our drinking, we should do everything for the glory of God. What's it mean to do everything for the glory of God? It means that in every experience you and I have as the people of God, we should be seeking to honor him in that experience. We should be seeking to magnify him in that experience. In other words, he should be seen in and through that experience, which is sort of what we talked about even in 1 Corinthians 10:13. How is God seen in my trials as I'm struggling through my trial? Well, God is seen in that he's giving us his grace. We're stewarding it properly. It's perfecting in us, and we're enduring it and bearing. We're not seen. He's seen through that. And we do everything for the glory of God, not only by honoring God and magnifying him, but by praising him. Praising him. Learning to praise God in and through everything that we do. Everything. Because God reminded me today, and I don't know how I got there, but I was reminded today that even me lifting my pinky finger, it was like God said, you realize, Jeff, that you couldn't do that unless I allowed you to do that. And I'm like, wow, you're right, God. There's nothing that I can do, accomplish, achieve, or whatever without you. Nothing. I mean, Jesus sort of said that. Without me, you can do nothing. I mean, none of us would keep breathing. None of us would have our hearts keep beating. I mean, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we just couldn't do anything without God. And you think about how the world, the people without God, live their whole life and don't even give God a regard at all. Like, he's just totally, like, doesn't even exist, right? They live as if he doesn't exist. And they give him no thanks, no gratitude, no praise, no acknowledgement at all. Like they are here and they get to do all that they're doing, enjoying life on planet Earth, you know, whatever occupation or business or job that they had throughout their life, you know, get to live their life. And it was all because of God, and yet God never got anything. And we can, you know, get down on them for like, yeah, how could you be so? And yet we got to look at ourselves. How often do we go through our days and day after day and we fail to stop and pause and realize that everything that I'm able to do, everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm enjoying, everything that I'm experiencing, every joy that I have in life, all the peace that I'm enjoying, all the love that I'm experiencing, it's all because of him. It's all because of him. And so Paul is saying, first of all, make sure that we're not like the world and that all we care about are experiences. Because it's got to be more than the experience, because the Israelites had all the experiences and yet God was not pleased with most of them. It's got to be, what is our response to those experiences? And are we responding properly and learning to walk with God rather than just relying on the experience alone? Second, every experience, no matter what it is, good or bad, can be endured and can be bared because God is faithful. and he will give us grace and then ask us to steward that grace for as long as we need to and see that grace perfected, as James says, in our life. So that we can count it all joy even when we fall into trials, because we have now this powerful testimony of God's sovereignty and initiative allowing this thing to happen, met with our response of faith, and then this grace is received and expressed and shows people that I can endure and bear this because of my God. And if I can, so can you. Third, every experience should be examined and evaluated because there's more than meets the eye to all experiences. There are spirits involved, and there are spirits behind all of these experiences. And we must make sure that we are not being negatively affected by evil spirits, but by the Spirit of God. And finally, every experience should bring glory to God. So hopefully even tonight, this is an experience. This is an engagement with God. Hopefully tonight, our time in God's house, those of you that are watching from your homes, that time that you've spent watching us online, hopefully this has been a time where God is getting the glory. Through us honoring him, magnifying him, and praising him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for, Lord, just a wonderful time, Lord, with you and your people. God, you're our treasure. You're our prize. You're the pearl of great price. There is nothing of greater value or worth in our lives than you, God. And it's all because of you. Everything we are, everything we have, everything we'll ever experience throughout eternity, everything that we can do in this life, everything that we enjoy, it's all because of you, God. From the tiniest little movement of our body to the greatest adventure we could ever imagine on earth, God, it's everything in between. It's all you. And I pray tonight, Lord, that all of us would continue to allow you to sort of renew our minds and rewire our minds and hearts, God, to not be like the Corinthians were for so long, who were not really spiritual people, even though they had the Holy Spirit in their life. They allowed their culture around them and the world around them to influence them more than you were. Lord, help us to see things from your perspective. Help us to see and begin to see things through your eyes, not our own or anyone else's. God, thank you for our time of worship tonight. Thank you for Nicole and Nate leading us and for all the people here who lifted up their voices in this auditorium to praise you and all those at home that were praising you in their homes as well. Oh, God, may we live our lives to lift you up and exalt you and praise you because you're worthy of it, God. And thank you for your word that's just so relevant, so clear, so practical, Lord, that we can take it every time we're in it, and we have something to apply to our life every day. Some encouragement, some challenge, some reminder, something to strengthen us, something to give us hope, something to give us peace, something to bring joy. God, thank you for your word. Go with us now, Lord. Give us a good night of rest and good rest of this week. And Lord, help us all to just live in anticipation and expectation of the next time we're together again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here. God bless. We'll see you next week.